Christ is risen. Good morning and welcome to our divine service on this, the third Sunday of Easter. A few announcements before we begin our service today. First of all, welcome to all of you members, friends, guests, first time returning, however many times you've been here. Your presence among us enhances our worship this morning. We also welcome you to Bible class and Sunday school after the service, well, after a little fellowship time between the service and those classes. We do have some reading sheets in the bulletin and on the back table here. They look like this. Let me grab them here. These are week two, but you should have week three in your bulletin. And that has the reading from 1 Peter for the coming Sunday in it, and some questions that you can write some thoughts down about. I was told by someone last week, well, I don't have to write anything because you said they were questions to ponder. Some of us like to ponder writtenly, perhaps some like to ponder just in our minds too. Either is okay, unless you live with the pastor. And we also have a special Bible class this Sunday. And for this Easter season, we're going to set aside just for a moment the large catechism study that we've been doing. We're in the Lord's Prayer right now, and we're going to look at these epistle readings, which also serve as the basis for our sermons during this Easter season. Peter tells us in his first epistle what the resurrection means for us personally in our Christian lives. And so if you're interested in learning a little bit more about 1 Peter, you'd like to talk about some things that you heard in the sermon, please do come to Bible class, and we will do those together in Bible class. Also, we have this morning new members joining us. You probably have seen, and maybe you have met, Paul and Moira Heineke. I invite you to introduce yourselves to them during the fellowship time after the service today. They will be joining us as members in our worship this morning. We also will have some members joining us as associate members next week, which is very exciting. And we have a class starting up called, called Rooted in Faith. And this isn't just for new members or people interested in being new members. Rooted in Faith is something that anyone can come to, and that will be on Wednesday nights at 6:30, beginning this Wednesday. If you'd like more information, you have questions, just chat with me after the service today. A huge thank you to everyone who helped with our cleanup day yesterday. If you notice that things look a little bit nicer around the exterior of the building, we had some wonderful folks come and help to clean up during the citywide cleanup day. This is the second Sunday that we will be doing our special offering for asbestos abatement. We raised a very good amount last time, and we're about halfway towards our goal. This is the second Sunday, and we are halfway towards our goal. So thank you to all who donated. There are some envelopes in the pew backs for designated offerings. You can use those, and just, if you write a check, just designate on the line asbestos abatement. There's a note in your bulletin about an Ascension Eve service that we will be celebrating with all of our sister congregations on the St. Paul circuit. And with that, our announcements are concluded, and I invite you to stand as you are able and face the cross, and we will continue with confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our processional hymn, hymn 822 in the Lutheran service book. Alleluia, let praises ring.
Thank you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people and impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This word is the good news that was announced to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened.
While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Children, I would invite you to meet me at the baptismal font today for our children's message. We have to go over here today because we have to do something. What is this? It is a candle. Do you know what kind of candle this is? This is a special candle that we call the Christ candle. Okay, go ahead and light that. And during the Easter season, we usually have this lit until a day called Ascension Day, when we remember that Jesus ascended into heaven. And this year we're going to do Ascension Day the night before, which is okay. And we will then have the candle there, but then after that, we won't light it anymore because we're remembering that Jesus ascended into heaven. But during these days between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, Jesus was appearing to his disciples, telling them that he was risen, just like he did here in this story with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so we light that candle. And another reason we light this is because our lives, like Peter said in the epistle reading, our lives shine with the same kind of holiness that Jesus had. To be holy means to be special. It means to be set apart. It means to reflect who God is in our lives. And God calls all of us to do this. And so we shine like this candle will shine. Now I want you to do something. I want you to light this candle by telling it to light. Come on. Tell the candle to light. Help him out. Let's tell the candle to light up. Let's say light up together, okay? Light up. Why isn't it working? Why can't the candle light itself? You have to light it with a lighter. It has to be lit from the outside, right? It doesn't just burst into flame itself, right? Okay, Martin, why don't you light the candle? And in the same way, in our lives, we reflect the holiness of God, but it's not our own holiness. It's the holiness that Jesus gives to us. It's Jesus' own holiness. One of my friends likes to say, we get to borrow Jesus' holiness. We get to be holy with his holiness. We get to show who God is because Jesus puts that into our heart. And where did Jesus do this? And where does Jesus continue to do this? Well, one place Jesus did this for each of you was in the waters of holy baptism. Another way Jesus does this is in his word. Just like the Emmaus disciples said here, our hearts were burning within us. Jesus shows up for us in his word. And then there's another place. What do we do right up there? What are we going to do later in the service? That's right. We will receive the bread and the cup that are Jesus' body and blood. And Jesus shows up for us, Luke says here, in the breaking of the bread. And when Jesus shows up for us like that, he gives us his holiness so that we get to shine for everybody to see with the same holiness that Jesus is holy. All right, you can go back to your seats and we'll hear a little bit more about that. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. I heard that for the first time last week, so I had to try it. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I worked at a manufacturing company here in the city of St. Paul, our company president, Jacques, passed a valuable piece of wisdom on to me. One day as we were talking, he told me about some bad business practices at a company where he used to work. And he said this, Josh, at some point in your life, you're going to run into a situation where you have to say no. Someone will ask you to do something. Someone will ask you to say something. Someone will ask you to go along with something that is just wrong. And you're going to have to stand out. You're going to have to be different. You're going to have to say, no, I can't do this. I can't go along with this. He told me the story about how when he did that, he lost a job. Now, knowing that Jacques is a Christian, I am reminded of his wise words when I hear this text from 1 Peter in our epistle reading. Sometimes as Christians, we have to say no. Sometimes we have to act differently than the rest of the world. That's what St. Peter says here in the beginning of our reading today. Peter says, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Instead, be holy as God is holy, because you belong to God. Peter wrote this to Gentile Christians who were living in the first century AD. Unlike Peter himself, these Christians were not Jews. So they didn't grow up knowing all about the God of the Old Testament and what he expected of his people. Instead, they grew up in pagan Roman culture. Their culture was filled with all kinds of corruptions, violence, and sexual perversion. Peter says here, that's how you used to live when you were ignorant of God. The English Standard Version translates Peter in verse 18 as saying that the Gentile Christians had inherited ways of living that were futile, and so does the NRSV. Their way of life was utterly useless. It was a waste of time. That's what futility is. In verse 14, Peter says that before they were Christians, his hearers simply followed the urges of their passions, acting out their ignorance of God and of his will. It would not be appropriate to discuss in detail the kinds of things in which these Gentiles might have engaged before they became Christians. If you want more information about that, you can check out the massive book by Edward Gibbons,
the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Suffice it to say that all manner of manipulation, corrupt business practices, sexual immorality, and murder were rampant in Roman society. Because of this, the Christians that Peter is writing to felt like they didn't fit in within their own culture. And when we hear Peter's warnings to these Christians against living like the world around them, we get the idea that at least some of them were tempted to going back to living like this. But don't, says Peter, don't live like the world around you. God is holy, and he has called you to be holy. And that word holy is kind of unique. It means to be set apart for a special purpose and existence. And this word holy really only exists within religious language. And honestly, in the first century, it's mainly just found in the Bible. Catholic biblical scholar Father Raymond Brown points out that the background to this word holy is the Old Testament Exodus story. God saved his people from slavery in Egypt and from the tyranny of Pharaoh. Yet as soon as the going gets difficult, God's people complain that they want to go back to their former life in Egypt, which was so awesome as they were slaves. In this context, God comes to his people at Mount Sinai and tells them, I have delivered you from Egypt. I have delivered you to be my own people. I have made you my own people, so don't belong to Egypt anymore, because you don't. I've ransomed you away from Egypt. Don't talk about going back there. Don't act like you belong. You don't. You're holy. You're set apart, because I have ransomed you. So act like it. You have to say no to going back to Egypt. Now in our epistle reading, Peter says to the Gentile Christians of his day, in Jesus Christ, God has ransomed you from your former slavery, not slavery to Egypt and Pharaoh, but slavery to worldly living. You now belong to God in Christ, so you have to say no to the immoral things that are in your own culture. You used to engage in them, but you can't anymore, because God in Christ has ransomed you. And this term ransom means to purchase someone out of slavery. In Roman society, people who could not pay off a debt could sell themselves into slavery in order to work that debt off. Sometimes slaves would also be captured when one people, usually the Romans, conquered another people through military victory. In either case, if someone was enslaved, a third party could often buy a slave's freedom if they had enough money to do so. They had to have enough, and that price that they paid for freeing a slave was called their ransom. Those hearing Peter's message would have understood this. They would have gotten what Peter was saying to them. Peter's saying, you used to live like this, but now you can't anymore, because God paid a ransom for you to get out of the slavery of your former way of life. And that ransom, says Peter, is Jesus Christ himself. Peter says, you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. And brothers and sisters, you and I have also been ransomed with that same price, the price of God's very own Son shedding his blood on the cross for us. We weren't ransomed with perishable things, says Peter. God didn't buy our freedom with gold or silver. God didn't write a check. God didn't swipe his credit card. He didn't set up an ACH, and he didn't send a Zelle for our freedom. The cost for God was much higher than that. So now we belong to him. We are now obligated to live for him. For as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, what has been costly for God cannot be cheap for us. Martin Luther reflects this beautifully in his small catechism. He says that God's ransom of us means that we now live for God. And many of us have probably known these great words by heart since we were kids. Some of us have learned them since then. For some of us, they may be new. So let's say them together. So please take out your Lutheran service book, it's the burgundy hymnal, out of the pew rack in front of you, and turn to page 322. It's under the heading, the second article. Our hymnals have Luther's small catechism in them. Page 322, the second article. And let's respond together with me. I'll ask the question and then we can respond together. And then Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And so, people of God, now I ask you, what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. Thank you. God has purchased us. God has freed us from sin, from death, from the devil's power with the infinitely high price of his own Son's lifeblood. In love for us in this fallen world, God the Father sent the Son from the portals of heaven to be crucified for us and to be the price of our ransom. But that wasn't the end. In giving his life as a ransom, Jesus didn't just pay off sin, death, the devil in this world. He didn't just bribe them to let us go. No, he defeated them. He crushed them from all eternity, triumphing even over death for us by rising again. Christ is risen. And now, because of this ransom, as Luther says, you and I are God's own. We don't belong to this world. We don't belong to this society. We belong to his kingdom. We don't belong to sin, to addiction, to gossip, to greed, to violence, to hatred, to anger, or to sexual immorality. We might be tempted by those things. We might even give in to them sometimes and sin against the Lord who purchased us. But we come back to him and we repent and we say these things don't fit in our Christian life. And through the blood of the Lamb, our sins are covered and we are forgiven. Even though we fall into them, we don't belong to these things because we belong to God in Christ. We don't belong to fear, to anxiety, or to depression. We don't belong to cancer, to heart disease, or to mental disorders. We don't even belong to death. Even though we will all pass away someday, we do not belong to death because we belong to God in Christ and because Christ is risen. So now we are God's people. We are holy. We have been purchased by Christ. We have been set aside for his special purposes. Having been ransomed by Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, we've been made God's very own people, just as we sang a little while ago in This Is the Feast. And so, because we have been ransomed, we have to say no. Like the believers to whom Peter wrote in the corrupt and debaucherous Roman Empire, we too live in a world and a society filled with all manner of futile things. And this is really nothing new. This has always been the case. But we live in a time when government leaders were going on trial for corruption. We live in a world of increasing violence and death, in a world as which one leader, Mao Zedong, put it, power grows out of the barrel of a gun. We live in a world where children are trained to become mass murderers by practicing it daily on video games. We live in a society where just about anything goes in terms of sexual practice. It's a society in which some parents are delaying normal human development by giving kids drugs so that one day they can choose their own gender. It's a society in which the internet offers people absolute filth 24/7. And in this context, we who have been redeemed by Christ must say no. We must reject the futile ways and the reckless, unbridled pursuit of the passions of ignorance. We must do so not in order to gain God's favor or somehow get brownie points with him in heaven. We must say no, not in order to show that we are so much better than everybody else and we have everything all figured out. We must say no, not because we hate, despise, or ridicule those who live in futility. We have to say no simply because we don't belong to this sin. We don't belong to this world. We don't belong to death. We don't belong to the devil. And we don't even belong to our own selves. We have to say no because we belong to God in Christ. We have to say no because we are holy, because we have been made holy by Christ's own holiness given to us in holy baptism. We have to say no because we have been purchased and ransomed by the blood of Jesus, and in him we now belong to God. We have to say no to the sin in our world, but that does not mean that we have to say no to the sinners of our world. Instead, we are called to love them, for we too are sinners. It is for us, all of us, them, you, me, all of us together, that Jesus died and rose again. Christ is risen. We don't say no to the people of this world. Instead, we pray for them. We bear witness to them. We tell them that Jesus died and rose for them, and that we also love them. We love them with the same love that God has shown to us in Christ Jesus. We love other sinners because God has shown his love for us in this, that while we too yet were sinners, Christ died for us. And when we love others like this, we also show the world a better way than the futility in which it lives. As Peter says, we show the world the love that God in Christ has for all people by loving others with a brotherly and sisterly love that flows from a pure heart, from a heart made pure by Jesus. You and I who carry the name of Christ have been bought with the blood of Jesus. We are called to live out our identity as the ransomed people of God in our words and in our lives. And through us, our crucified and risen Lord will come, and he will gather others also into his holy and ransomed people, so that they too might be delivered from futility and kept in that hope of salvation that is ours in the resurrection of Christ. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite those who are joining our congregation this morning to come forward. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the grace, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I ask you and all of you together now in the name of the Lord. Paul and Myra, do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the word of God and to receive his supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and to suffer all rather than fall away from it? Do you desire to become members of Jehovah Lutheran congregation? And now, congregation, I ask you, will you support this couple and all together, will you support the work our gracious Lord has given to this congregation and one another with your prayers and the gifts God has given to you? If you do, I invite you to respond, "I will with the help of God." Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Continue to receive the Lord's Supper with us and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite the congregation to stand as we pray together. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them and us to believe with one heart and with one mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, we may all continue steadfast in the one true faith and in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day where all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always. Amen. Let's greet Paul and Myra together. You may go back to your seats. You may know that Paul is the son of Dr. Ted Heinicke and of Florence Heinicke, who were longtime members of our congregation. And Ted served our synod in many roles throughout his career as a Lutheran educator. And it's wonderful to have you together with us as we continue to train yet more educators and church leaders in our Lord's church. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Father of the risen Christ, in your Son's appearance to the Emmaus disciples, he expounded the Holy Scriptures and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. By your Holy Spirit, you continue to reveal Christ to us today through these very same means of grace. Grant that we who walk together with our Lord Jesus here at Jehovah Lutheran receive him joyfully and joyfully share his good news with others in our own neighborhood and in our own lives. By the word and sacraments, grow us in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have poured out your Spirit upon us that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. Protect Christian families from the attacks of the world and the devil, who seek to divide us and destroy what you have created and called good. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war and violence and terror. End strife amongst all peoples, but especially between Russia and Ukraine. Cause all of our leaders to seek peace and to work for the common good. Instill in them a love of all righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless all medical and emergency workers and all members of the armed forces who protect us. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, those who suffer cry to you. Hear them and answer them with grace sufficient for all their needs. Heal the sick according to your will. Comfort the wounded and give your peace to the dying. We pray especially for Donna Ostenson Kiefert, Rita Galston, Paul Finnegan, George Mendoza, Sandy Quinzer, Tom Kelly, Tim Robinson, Patrick Carey, Wesley Pagel, Sean Davis, Shirley Starner, Lynn Barthel and her family, Paula Portermain, Marge and Charlie Avalis, Eric Meeson, Alita Hill, Paul and Joyce Betcher, Mary Wegner, Dorothy Wegner, Bruce Wegner, Mike Wynn, Devin Parade, Jim Kinzel, Tracy Kaiser, Karen Kurgis, Stephen Weta, Marjorie Pumphrey, Sandy Tyken, Marlis Wolf, Dorothy Fox, Rafael Dallagher Perez, Charles Miller, and David Cook. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and our mouths to receive the forgiveness given in the body and blood of Christ, who suffered for us and who has entered into his glory. Sustain us by this body and blood to continue living in true faith in a hostile time. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. At this time, we gather the offering and we hear the musical offering. We worship our Lord with our offerings.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.